So the research is very clear on this. We don't just learn from the ether. These are actual skills that need to be explicitly taught, and even better, explicitly taught within the context of doing the thing, right? So like within the we're doing homework tonight or in the classroom. That's another area of passion for me because I was a teacher. Teachers need to know about this stuff and to be able to teach it to kiddos. Sometimes we expect kids to know how to do things, but we don't teach it.
Welcome to the Secrets of Supermom show, where we explore how successful, busy moms battle overwhelm, beat burnout, and stay happy in the process. I'm your host, Lori Oberbreckling, wife, mom of four, corporate executive, photographer, and author of the book Secrets of Supermom, how extraordinary moms succeed at work and home, and how you can too. Hey, hey, friend, welcome to episode number 180 of the Secrets of Supermom show. Do you wonder why it is so much harder for you to get things done than other people in your life or family? Or maybe you have a child who has a hard time getting started or planning for projects or just staying organized. Carrie Bonnet joins us today on the show to talk about executive function. Carrie is a veteran teacher. She's a lifelong list maker and an executive function coach. She's based in Bend, Oregon, where she lives with her husband and two children. And she helps empower students to thrive in life and school, parents and teachers to better support their children, and adults to get on top of all that life requires. In fact, right after our conversation ended, I told her, I need to hire you. And so whether you struggle with getting things done or you have a child that needs more support, this episode is just absolutely for you. You're going to love Carrie. And listen till the end because she has a free resource called Helping Your Child Get Things Done Without Constant Reminders. And I'm confident we could all use that. So you can grab that. And I downloaded it literally the second we ended our conversation. I am just so excited for you to meet Carrie. Hey, hey, friends, welcome to the show. I'm so excited Carrie's with me today. And I cannot wait for our topic. Carrie, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about you before we kick off and tell us about why you do what you do. Tell us about your family. Tell us all the things.
Sure. So I'm Carrie Bonnet, and I am an executive function coach. I live in Bend, Oregon. And let's see, my family, I've got two kiddos. I've got a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old, and a lovely husband and a few dogs and chickens. And I've lived in Oregon for 25 plus years. And I come to the work of being an executive function coach from being a teacher. So I was a classroom teacher for 14 years. I taught middle and high school humanities, all kinds of things, social studies, English. And why I do what I do. The universe was sort of pointing me in this direction around COVID times. So 2020, I started this coaching practice. And then I just have really become really passionate about making sure that everybody I know knows something about this brain thing called executive function.
Yes. So I want us to kick off with what exactly this is. So I'm willing to bet some of our listeners have heard the words executive function. I'm willing to bet some of them are like, yes, I know what this is, right? And I bet some of them are like, I wonder what that means. So I would love for you to give us a little brief tutorial on what exactly we're talking about.
I would love to. That's what I love to do. The thing I wish we had a different term for what this thing is, right? Because the people who know, great, now they know. I'll explain in a minute. But the people who just hear this term, it does not to me say brain skills. To me, it says like CEO or something, you know, corporate.
Sure.
So what executive function is in the brain world is that these are the simple definition anyway, is that these are the skills that help us get our things done. So that's the simple definition. But what we're talking about for real is things like time management, things like organization, things like staying focused on a task when it's boring. How do we talk ourselves into that, right? So these are the kinds of skills we're talking about when it comes to executive function. I did a parent talk, 6 months ago or so, and somebody said, well, what would you call it if you had and I was stumped. I had no idea. I don't know what I would call it. Brain skills?
Yeah.
So it's tricky, but I think where it comes from is the word execute, right? So executive function, like being able to execute a task. So I think that's where it comes from, but I still wish we had a better term for it.
Yeah, I think some people might call it activities of daily living, but it's more than that, right? Because some of that is, I mean, getting dressed and brushing your teeth and feeding yourself, those are activities of daily living, but you have to have a different skill set to plan for that, to plan for the things that you might wear, to plan for the meals that you might cook, right? There's another level, and you're talking about this idea of planning and time management and really being able to do the thing and convincing yourself to be able to do the thing also, right? It includes that motivation level.
Yeah, motivation's really interesting, isn't it? You probably talk about that a lot with your people.
Oh yes. Lack thereof mostly, right? Mostly,
Can I
no,
say
we're not too
something?
motivated, most of
Can
us.
I say something about that actually? So in my world, we have it all wrong. So like we tend to we the society, we tend to think that we need motivation in order to like get started on some of those, like you were just talking about, the daily living tasks. But from the brain world, it's the other way around. So what the brain science says is that there's no such thing as like getting the motivation to do the thing. It's just start first.
Yes.
And then the motivation comes sometimes,
Yes.
not always.
That's exactly what I teach. Just start. Motivation comes with action. Just start. So, yes, you have to figure out a trick or a way or something to get yourself to start, right? But it's not going to be motivation that's going to get you there most of the time.
No, totally. Isn't that interesting? Like we sort of think, I don't know where that comes from. What do you
Yeah.
think? Like, where does that sense of I have to have enough motivation to
I
do the
think
thing?
we can very much relate with the I don't feel motivated to, right? I don't feel motivated to work today. I don't feel motivated to make our meal plan. I don't feel motivated to get dressed. I don't feel motivated to do that fun project, that terrible project, that in-between project, right? We can relate to that. And so I just think that it has spiraled because we know what not being motivated feels like. What we don't realize is that maybe it's not necessary at all. Yeah. Yeah.
Just get started.
So
Because
why?
that's one of the skills too. Sorry to interrupt you. That's
No.
one of the so there's lots of different lists of skills. So there's no one common. Like there are 10 executive, there are seven. The list that I like is 11. It comes from Dr. Peg Dawson and Richard Guare. They have a series of books called Smart But Scattered. I don't know if you've heard of it. Some people know this series. It's great. So I use their list. It's 11 skills. But what I was going to say is that task initiation is one of those skills. How do we, like you said, kind of convince ourselves, have a trick to how do we get started? And I would say 99% of my clients, by the way, who are some students and some adults, that we all, 99% of the clients have a hard time with task initiation.
Smart but scattered. We'll link that in the show notes
It's
so people
great.
can
It's a
find
great
it.
resource.
I think they might like that. So we are going to talk about adults and students, parents, children today, right? We're going to talk about everybody because I'm willing to bet that if you are not a mom who struggles with this, if you're not already resonating in your own soul with this, you resonate with this because of a child that struggles with it. So we're going to talk about both. But I want to ask you just in terms of struggle, why does it seem like some people tend to struggle with this more than others of us?
It's annoying, isn't it?
It's annoying.
Because here's the thing. So I as a coach, I come at this from these are strengths for me, and so I come that way. Some coaches, it's the opposite. Some coaches have maybe an ADHD or an autism diagnosis themselves, and they come at it from this is really hard for me. Here's how I manage it. So there's, room for all of us. But here's what I really think that there's like sort of three things, especially when we're talking about students. Their brains are still developing, right? So, the brain science says right now that a brain is still growing and developing up through age 30, possibly.
Wow.
Like that's old, considering like what we expect students to do
Yeah.
in class, right? And homework assignments. So some of it is developmental, right? Like I have students tell me all the time, like, gosh, why does my friend not struggle with this thing and I struggle? So some of it is just like brains develop at different rates, just bummer, right? But some of it is learning difference. So some of the reason why some students, adults struggle with this stuff is because some kind of learning difference, like ADHD, like autism, like dyslexia, like dysgraphia, some of these other learning differences, And by the way, ADHD, I'm not an ADHD expert, but I'm an executive function expert. And what the folks say about ADHD is that it really is an executive function challenge. Like there's more to it, maybe, but it's really just really having a hard time with executive function. So a lot of people who come to see me have some kind of diagnosis. So that's two reasons. And then honestly, for students, another reason, you could also say this for adults too, is that their brain just doesn't, it's not a good match for traditional school. Or on the adult side, you could say like their brain is just not a great match for a traditional desk job, for instance. So the way I see it, it's kind of like three things. So the brain development thing, the learning difference thing, and then also this like, huh, it's just not a good match. Does that mean you have to change jobs or change school? No, but it's important data to know.
It's important things to know. And I'm sure we can think of people like that, or maybe it's ourselves that we excel in one type of job, but right, like maybe we excel, I don't know, I'm thinking like on a sales floor where you're talking to people, you're interacting with people, you're moving a lot, right? Versus sitting at a desk job that requires lots of executive function skill sets and where that is like cr soul crippling, right? To some people, not only is it hard, but it crushes your sense of feeling like a human. And
And
so,
being successful, right?
So I want to understand, because we're talking about parents and children, I kind of want to split this out a little bit. I do want to talk about from ourselves, as a mom, what can we do? But maybe can we start with the kids as far as being a parent of a child who is struggling with executive function skills, with struggling with a lot of these planning skill sets, these skill sets to get things done. They're not turning in their homework, or they're disruptive in class, or they're right. They don't know how to organize themselves to be able to be successful on a test or in a project or any of those things. Can we start there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's when people end up coming to see me, is that's what I hear is all the things you just described. And the backpack is messy and maybe the room and things like that. I mean, honestly, one of the more important things I think to for parents to know about executive function is that they are skills that must be taught. So the research is very clear on this. We don't just learn from the ether. These are actual skills that need to be explicitly taught. And even better, explicitly taught within the context of doing the thing, right? So, like within the, we're doing homework tonight or in the classroom. That's another area of passion for me because I was a teacher. Teachers need to know about this stuff and to be able to teach it to kiddos. Sometimes we expect kids to know how to do things, but we don't teach it. And so that's like maybe thing number one that I want parents to know is that, yeah, maybe they're struggling because of all those things we mentioned a minute ago, but also they haven't been taught. They haven't been taught. So being able to pause a moment as a parent and go, oh, could this be like, could this be they don't know how? Because I really do believe that kids will do better if they could. And so it really is a matter of lagging skills. And how can we address that skill? What if, I like to encourage parents to get really curious. What if this child is not trying to be difficult, and they really just don't have the skill?
And they don't know how to ask for it because they don't know what it is, right? It's not like they're sitting at the desk and they're watching all the other kids and they're saying, oh, they clearly have organizational skill sets and time management, right? I should go home and ask my mom how to like have a good organizational skill set and some time management. No, that is not what's happening. They're going, why is this so hard for me? I should go distract the other kids. Why is this so hard for me? I'm just not going to do it.
And yes, and they're sometimes feeling a lot of shame around it. So that comes up a lot. And kids feel bad about it. They do get from adults, unfortunately, some of this negative stuff. Why can't you keep your desk tidy? You forgot your homework again? That kind of stuff. So like the language we use really matters. That's why I really like to talk about brains. Like let's blame the brain for this stuff, not the kid. Like it is not a character flaw that child has a hard time fill in the blank, right? Finishing homework, keeping the desk tidy, remembering the book report. It's just not, it's a brain thing.
I think too, some of us as parents, so if you guys are on board with this, then know you're not alone. We think, well, why didn't they teach that in school? And maybe they did, but child wasn't listening at that point. Brain wasn't ready at that point. And by the time other kids are already doing it, some of those skill set teachings sort of start to fade, right? You're not a sophomore in high school and being taught to do these things. And if maybe you weren't ready to learn them until then, now there's no opportunity in a school environment to learn it. So if you're not learning it in a tutoring environment, in a coaching environment like Carrie offers, in a home environment, you're maybe not learning it at all. And then you're continuing to struggle, right?
You know what else is interesting too is that often, not always, but often a child who struggles with this stuff has a parent who struggles with this stuff as well. And so exactly what you were just saying is that maybe they weren't ready to hear it, all the things you just listed, but also maybe their parents don't know how to teach them this stuff. And again, not a character flaw, but we have to teach this stuff. Early, 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 as early as you can.
As early as you can and regularly, right? It's some of this is about just practicing it, right? Getting in good habits of, we teach habits. We teach a lot of like this repetition of things that certain things just become easier because you've done them 1,000 times instead of three, right? That it just starts to become easier in general because we're teaching our brain to do it the same way every time. So let's talk about those parents that are struggling, right? Let's talk about the parent that doesn't know how to teach it or just is thinking, this is so me, right? These are the things I struggle with personally. How do we start to help ourselves?
I would say first be gentle with yourself. I really do think that, and with your kiddo, right? Like that's one another thing I teach is just to be gentle. Yes, do we want to improve? Yes. Do we want to get the brain on board is what I say. Yes, absolutely. But to be really gentle with yourself. It, because of some of that shame and negativity that is around this, just be really gentle with yourself. There's another coach that I like, and she talks about like traffic light, like red, green, or red, yellow, green days, like according to how your energy level is, or according to how your brain is feeling, or maybe you ran a marathon yesterday, so you're on a red day, like there is not much getting done. Like just being gentle with yourself and allowing yourself to experience what you're experiencing. I mean, that's step one, I would think.
So because so often the shame prevents us from taking the next step to actually feeling different, right? It kind of gets us stuck. Shame gets us stuck. And so, and for the kids too, right? So this is not, that's not parent alone. But oftentimes, if you are that parent, then you're feeling ashamed. You're feeling like, how come I can't do it the way she does it, right? Why don't I have these skill sets? And then that can rub off on the kids, but also can prevent you from saying it's okay that our brains work like this. We're going to learn some other ways and being able to help your child too.
I mean, I just like encouraging people to think about the language they use too. Like I was talking about blaming the brain for this stuff, right? Not the kid. Let, you know, getting away and for yourself, right? Like that self-talk too. So for parents, kid, all of it is the same. But wanting, I want to get away from words like lazy, and I want to get away from words like absent-minded or forgetful or some of these sort of negative, and let's call it what it is. I mean, that's the other thing I love about teaching people about executive function is we have a name for it now. My brain struggles with task initiation. Great. My brain struggles with focus. Okay, that's great. Now that's good information. Now what do we do with that? Rather than the scatterbrained or can't stay focused, you know, using the actual word and using it related to your brain is really important. So language and being gentle with yourself, all that stuff is super important.
Yeah, that's interesting the way we talk about it, that even the words that we describe can be shameful, even if we're working on getting, not feeling ashamed, but then we use words that probably feel insulting, right, to us in some way, or less than someone else, right? Their
And we
comparison
sometimes
words.
we do it to ourselves too, right? Like, ha ha ha, I'm so, you know, absent-minded or whatever it is. But I don't know. I think language matters.
Agree. So after sort of being gentle and understanding that this is not a character flaw, like you said, are there some tangible things that we can do to start movement in the right direction so that we can feel a little bit more in control of some of these executive functioning skills?
Absolutely. So I think maybe the best way to talk about this is one, the getting started thing, because we just talked about that earlier. So that's a great place. And then there's another thing I want to talk about, which is to make things visible. So we'll start first with the getting started. I mean, like you said, we have to come up with a strategy to sort of convince ourselves to start. And one of my favorite ways is a very short timer. Right, like setting a very short timer, whatever very short means for you or your child. I ask my clients, what's the sweet spot? Like, what is the sweet spot for how many minutes you focus on this boring thing? Because that's what I care about. I don't care about how many minutes you can focus on the fun stuff because that's really easy. I want to know how, and sometimes they'll say 10, sometimes they'll say 17, sometimes they'll say 4. I don't care. I don't care how many minutes it is, but set a very short timer and start. And so that's one way. And that doesn't always work, right? We can't always convince ourselves even to set a short timer, but the short timer at least allows us to know there's an end. And if we have the timer in sight, we can see how much time we have left to work on this very boring task. And so that's a super simple way. And I'm sure you and some of your listeners, your people, they use timers. But timers for kids are great because it helps with the understanding of the passing of time, right? Like 10 minutes actually is 10 minutes. I'm so guilty of this too. When my kids were on the playground, 5 more minutes, and it wasn't 5 minutes.
You're talking to a mom, and 35 minutes later, you're like, oh, we should probably go.
5 minutes. Okay, yeah. But that's really important, really. Like 10 minutes is 10 minutes, 5 minutes is 5 minutes. And so, because a lot of brains that struggle with this stuff struggle with time and, feeling the passing of time. How long do things take? So timers is a great way to do it.
Yeah, love timers. We love timers for getting started. We use that for house cleaning often, right, in our house,
Perfect.
because though that is a task no one wants to start, because most of us, now if you're a house cleaning lover, then we would love you to be our best friends.
And we
But
applaud you.
we applaud you and please come over. But most of us are not excited about it. My family certainly isn't. So we used that a lot throughout. We have and will continue to use those a lot because we say, okay, how much can we get done in 20 minutes? The whole house, go, right? And music is loud, and we know that it's over in 20 minutes.
There's some sense of okayness with that, right? Another thing too, speaking of timers, you wouldn't have to set a timer for this, but I also say to people, like, if it's something that you're pretty sure is going to take 2 minutes or less, just do it now. Just do it. Just get that guy out of the way, right? Like, I just have to make a phone call real quick. Just get it out of the way. Because what happens, I'm sure you know, and the people we're talking to know, is things build up, right? Like on our to-do list, and they get to be 50 and 60 elements on there. And there's no way we're going to get to all those.
That's
So
right.
if you can convince yourself to do something quick, do that too, is another good idea.
It's having it be done is much better than having it on a to-do list. Like, either way, it's not spinning around in your head, right? That's what I want for you.
Oh,
I don't want
yes.
it spinning around in your head and causing all sorts of scattery thoughts and feelings and lack of focus and frustration and all the things. So I always want you to write it down. But yeah, if we can just get it done, then let's not write it down at all. Then it's no, then it's just done. So I love that. Yes. Okay. So timers is a great one.
So
Kids
timers.
or adults.
Yep, timers are great. I also love this concept in the executive function world. We call it body doubling. Do you know this?
No.
Yeah. So the idea is that sometimes it is helpful and easier to get our stuff done if someone else is just sitting at the table next to us getting their stuff done. So it's a little bit of accountability. It's not even like you're working together, right? Like, so sometimes I'll say to my kids, hey, I see you're having trouble getting started on blah, blah, blah. What if we just sat at the table? I'm going to work on my boring thing. You can work on your boring thing, and we'll just work together.
I do this. I didn't know that's what it was called. I didn't
It's a thing.
even know there was a thing, but I totally do this with my 12-year-old. For those that have listened for a while, I imagine you're probably knowing that I'm thinking about my 12-year-old, right? Like, he is the one that struggles with these things. He is the one that absolutely needs more support in these areas because they just do not come naturally to him. And I, like you, Carrie, they do come very naturally to me. So this becomes, for me, this is not a frust these things are not frustrations that I am working on my own, but they are very frustrating for me with my child that I'm like, oh my goodness, why can't you do this? That
Who's so
why?
different than
Yes,
you?
this is why I was so excited to talk about this today, because I want to help moms that are struggling with it, but I also want to help those that aren't and have children that are. And so that is one of the skill sets we will use because he has trouble getting started on anything boring because it's terrible. No one really wants to do, right?
No,
no one really wants to do no. modules of reading. No one really wants to answer comprehension questions, right? These are not exciting things for most of us.
No.
So sitting down at the table, I'll say, okay, I'm going to work on this report that I have to write and you're going to work on that. And we're just going to sit at the table together. And you're right. I'm not helping him. I'm not going no. through any of the things with him. We're mm-hmm. just there together.
Yeah. I tell kids too, though, they need to choose the right person, right? Ooh. Like, so for your student, it's you, maybe that works, but some students will go, oh yeah, no, it's dad.
yeah. He would probably say that too.
It doesn't matter. Right. But some, you know, and same thing. And sometimes when I work with older students, friends can also be a body double for you, but you have to choose the right friend. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think about like going to the library as a high school student or college student. It was mostly not actually going with someone in my class. We were just yeah. going to study our own things. So that was using that concept really yeah. kind of in the same way, right? That we were holding each other accountable to study, even though we weren't studying the same content.
And it's less lonely.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody wants to sit and do their thing by themselves. Blah. No.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a good one. And so some of my older students will also say that they choose the right friend and then they sometimes do FaceTime with their friend, which one of my students said, yeah, because then it takes my phone out of my hands and out of commission.
Totally.
Distraction removed, but my friend is there and I see my friend and we're working and occasionally we can giggle and say hello or whatever, but I think that's super smart.
I think this is so smart too. I have another friend that used to call her friend. They would be on the phone together. So again, preventing the phone distraction, they would be talking and they would organize their apartments. So they would each be organizing their apartments at the same time, own self apartment, but it was the exact same concept. They couldn't get motivated to do it because again, nobody wanted to organize their apartment, right? Mm-hmm. So they got to talk. They got their phone out of their hands or out of their real hands, right? Like being able to scroll it. Mm-hmm. And they were getting things done at the same time. So that really the same concept. I love this. It's so smart. It's so easy, but it's not something we normally think of as a strategy, but it's a wonderful strategy.
Right. Right. I mean, that's the thing. Strategy is an interesting word, right? Because I remember my daughter, she's the 11-year-old, and I remember when she was really tiny in like kindergarten or first grade or something, they were talking about like, what is a strategy to attack a word or a math problem, like something super simple. And so she's been learning this word strategy for quite a while, but I don't remember that as a student. Like the idea that this is a strategy to try. So is the 2-minute rule, get it done if you can in 2 minutes. Like those are strategies. And so once you start, again, it's sort of the shame and the language thing that we were talking about. If we can just call it a strategy, then that makes us feel like we're getting somewhere.
Yeah. And a strategy doesn't have to be hard, right? It can be something very, very small. I always call things experiments, but it's sort of the same concept, mm-hmm. right? That we're going to do this as an experiment. And that way you can't, like, there's not going to be a failure. It's either the experiment worked or the experiment didn't work and I get to try again. Right. So I always love that. I use it for health and wellness mostly because otherwise it's hard for me to convince myself that I should be healthy and well in all the ways. So I use it for that, but same sort of idea that let's try this and see what happens. And whether it's a strategy or an experiment or just something that is, let's get curious about it. I think you used the word curious before. Let's get curious about it. I love that.
I love
Carrie, what else? Any other tips that we want to share?
So then let's change gear. So that's kind of ideas for getting started. But then my other favorite thing to talk about is to, whenever possible, for yourself, for your child, doesn't matter, is to make the invisible visible.
Mm.
There are so many invisible things. time is invisible. Chores, expectations, grocery, you know, like everything is like out there, just invisible. And so anytime we can try to make it more visible, then our brain is more likely to be able to get it done. I have a 7th grade student I worked with. He calls this keeping it in your face, but same idea, right? Like time. So I'm going to pull out my analog clock here. Making time more visible, super helpful for brains. I'm thinking of my kids. They come home from school every day and there's, I don't know, 4 or 5 things that they're expected to do when they get home. They unload their lunchbox, put it in the dishwasher. They practice piano for 10 minutes. I forget what the things are, but those are invisible unless we have them somewhere visible. So we have a magnet or a whiteboard with magnets and they like just move the magnet from one side to the other side of the written list when they're finished. So that
this is
visible.
Why checklists are so powerful.
Exactly.
Yes. We use checklists in the summer, but might have to finish a fairly long number of things before they're allowed electronics is essentially our rule. And it's a pretty long thing, but just to say, go do your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them could, right?
Just
some of
invisible.
Them might remember. Yeah.
Yep.
But it's like, what was on the list? Because they're not looking at their bed and thinking, oh, my bed's not made.
Oh, exactly.
So, right. They're like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
So they have to, being able to look at that list and being able to see it, right. Making it visible. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, some lists, not all lists are created equal, right?
Totally.
So I don't love like if my to-do list today had 50 things on it, my brain would be like, yeah, right. It's not going to happen.
Thank you.
Right. So short lists are great. But what you were just talking about is related to working memory, which is another skill we haven't talked about. But that's another executive function skill, like remembering all the things. We don't remember all the things. So that's why you have to make it visible. Keep that stuff in your face. It's also why when I go on vacation and I'm afraid I'm going to forget something, like I don't know what it is. I put it literally in my path so I cannot walk to the car without tripping over it.
Yes.
That's, again, a strategy that I
use. Yes, it's like sitting something on top of your bag or, right, like putting things in places that you know, right, that yes, right in mm-hmm. front of your front door. So you can't open the door without forgetting it. Really just making those things a lot easier. We had visual checklists for the kids when they were little, like their snack and their lunch, right? Like the picture of their backpack that they needed to have all those things. And I think that we use some of these tools when we have toddlers and we forget that they still work in just a grown-up way for school age kids, for high school age kids, for college age kids, for us as adults, right? They do. And so I think that those strategies, they don't have to be wild. They can be very simple and so effective.
Yeah. I mean, back to to-do lists and checklists. I'm a big fan of a brain dump. You just like get it, like you were talking about swirling, get it out of my head, like big giant list. But that cannot be the list that you work from on a regular basis.
No.
Brains don't work that way. They need it to be achievable. So little tiny list. Take from your brain dump what you need to do right now. Same with kids. I have students who have lots of missing homework assignments, right? And that's sometimes a long list. And that's too long. So I encourage them and their parents, if they're helping, to like, okay, let's just put two things. What are we going to just write in this moment for the next 20 minutes? What's the one thing, even maybe a list of one?
Yeah.
That's really
pick
good
one them. Subject. Maybe pick one section of one subject. Right?
Oh yeah. Sometimes there's a lot. So you got to break it down into baby steps for sure.
Yeah. Kerri, this has been so powerful to me. And I feel like it's so interesting how it ties so much into the things that we teach, right? Like those of you that are in our society, you guys know what we talk about with a master to-do list and that you cannot operate from it, right? That's exactly what Kerri is saying. And so there are just so many things that tie in so beautifully, but also so many things that I am already excited to, you know, try with my son thinking, oh yeah, we probably haven't done that in a while. Let's do that again. I do want to ask you a couple of questions that we love to ask all our guests.
I'm ready.
The first is, when do you feel most like a supermom?
When I have a meal plan. Because it does. It makes me feel like I am ready for this entire day. Because those people have to eat every day.
All the time.
Three times.
So much
a dinner
eating.
Plan. When we have a dinner plan, that makes me feel real good.
I love it. And then our last question that we always love to ask is, what is one small step busy moms can do today to get started?
One small step to get started. I mean, I think I would encourage some of this, like getting started thing that we're just talking about, right? Yeah. Like if there is something on your list or in your head that has been dogging you and you just don't want to do it, that's where I would recommend to start, right? Like, set a very short timer. But tell yourself, I'm just going to work on this thing, this big thing, for just a small amount of time. And then here's what happens, right? Sometimes we are motivated to keep going. But also I would say, give yourself permission to stop if you want to.
Yeah. Sometimes you're motivated to keep going. And sometimes you realize that the thing that's been hanging over your head, this happens to me so often, it's been like eating me alive, actually is way faster, shorter, easier, whatever, than I made it out to be. The stress of getting to it was actually way worse than the doing the thing.
Yeah.
And so it'll hang over my head all weekend. Monday morning, I'll do it and go, That took me 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it just ruined my whole weekend. So I love that tip. That is a beautiful tip. And perfect. I will personally continue to try working on that. Yes.
Yeah. Try is the good word. Yeah.
Try.
Yeah.
Carrie, tell us where to find you online if people want more.
Thank you. I have a website. It's just my name, carriebonnet.com. I do have a free resource for people at carriebonnet.com/blueprint. It's a blueprint for helping your child get things done without constant reminders. I think maybe some of us need that also. I need that all the time.
without
the constant
that.
reminders. Yep. So that's carriebonnet.com/blueprint.
Love it. I'm going to go grab that. I'm sure you all will want to do that too. Carrie, so grateful to have you here today. Thank you.
Thanks, Lori. So nice talking to you.
Thanks for listening to the Secrets of Supermom show. It doesn't have to end here. Head over to secretsofsupermom.com and take the quiz to find out your personalized supermom superpower. Or if you want to hang out in the next best thing to real life, join me at Secrets of Supermom on Facebook or Instagram. Big hug, y'all.